So we started looking at knowing Jesus Christ last weekend, and our theme for this year, I want to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. And these sort of wristbands and all the stuff that we have available, the fridge magnet, it is to help us remember. You know, none of us have supernatural memory. We need to be reminded of God's truth. We need to be reminded of things. I mean, your phone, you've got a reminder. Some of you have diaries and things like that. All is there to remind you, because as human beings, we can forget. And especially things that are spiritual and relevant to who we are in the spirit and who God is, we need constant reminding. So as a church, we believe this is what the Lord wanted us to focus on for the year. The vision, and I spoke about the fact that as individuals, we need a vision. You know, you need something that is pulling you towards it. You need to have something that is bigger than yourself. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of people get bogged down, even Christians, and get bored is because we don't have a well-defined vision that is bigger beyond our lives. So we're bored. But if you have something greater, like David, he stood before Goliath, and it was physically impossible for him to kill Goliath. But then he knew God could. And that was a huge vision. So he was excited. And if you want to live this life of excitement, you need something ahead of you that is determined by the Holy Spirit that gets you waking up every day excited, and you're pressing into that. So this year as a church, we had this theme, I want to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. And I started introducing what I'm talking about this month on knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus Christ. So I read from Philippians 3, 7 to 14. Let's read that this morning. Philippians chapter 3 from verses 7 to 14. Now read from the New International Version. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for the power of your word. We receive your revelation this morning. Father, we pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may see you through your word. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us fresh revelation of your word. Father, let not this few minutes be wasted or be a casual moment, but let this few minutes in your word be a turnaround scenario for some of us in this place. Let us hear your voice. Let us hear things that you alone can speak. Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we invite you. We thank you that you are our incredible teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I started talking about the importance of knowing Jesus. and highlighted the fact that there is a big difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. There is a big difference between knowing about Jesus. Most of us know about Jesus. If you were born in a Christian home, you would have heard a lot of stories and Bible reading and a lot of things around who Christ is, watched videos and all those things. And that is great. But there is a difference between hearing about him and hearing someone talk to you about him and hearing him talk to you personally. And so there is a big difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about him. And within the next few weeks, I'm preaching this to highlight and to stir up our hearts. And of course, this is meant to take us deeper in him to get to know him. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. There is more in God that we don't know. There is more about him. There is more that we are yet to experience than we have experienced. And you know, Paul in the passage, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." And we will come to the text because Paul is writing almost at the end of his life. He had encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he had gone into the Arabian desert and seen all kinds of revelation. In the book of Corinthians, he says, "I know of a man who ascended into the third heavens, and he heard and saw things that he was not permitted to share." And he was talking about himself. And in the book of Corinthians again, he says, "Because of the abundance of revelation, I was given a thorn." So Paul had encountered Jesus way more than anyone could imagine. But yet in this place, he said, "I want to know him." That's a huge challenge for every one of us. And so there is a difference between knowing him, knowing about him. We looked at the word know in that phrase, "I want to know him." And that word know means to come to know, to perceive, to understand. That word connotes personal knowledge, personal experience, first-hand acquaintance. So getting to know Jesus yourself. You know, there is a difference between somebody telling you that God loves you and you hearing God the Father saying to you, "I love you." That is a marker that will mark your heart forever. If I tell someone, "Yeah, God wants us to go and preach the gospel," but as we proclaim the gospel, the Spirit of the living God speaks through us, and people hear God at that moment, or they encounter the Lord at that moment. And that is what that word know connotes. It talks about personally experiencing or first-hand acquaintance. And then in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 34, that word is used there where Mary was speaking to the angel and it says, "How will this be since I do not know a man?" When the angel brought Mary the message that you are going to conceive a child, his name will be called Jesus. Mary is saying that, "How can I conceive when I haven't had any sort of sexual intimacy with a man?" And so that word know is that same word that was used in Luke 1:34, meaning that it's a, you know, it gives us a picture of intimacy with Jesus Christ. It gives us a picture where we are actively connected with him and living this intimate life with him. Do you know, one of the things as I was sort of reflecting on this, do you know, God is closer to you than anyone can. God is the only one who can be closer to you than anyone can. So as a human being, the next person who you're close to will be your spouse, because the Bible says the two becomes one and you get married and you consummate your marriage. There is that spiritual, emotional fusion of, you know, the two people, a man and a woman, they become one. So they're the only people who you can have that level of unity. But then even your spouse can't be with you all the time because you go to work, you know, maybe they might go on holiday, but God is always with you. And so that word is talking about that intimacy. And you know, the more we realize how intimate God is with us, the more we want to make time with him. And so this year, this is meant to give us the opportunity to say, okay, I need to make time for the Lord. I need to make time for the Lord. I don't want to be caught up in busyness. You know, yes, we have to go about doing things, but we are responsible for making sure that our lives is not drowned in the activities of life such that we haven't made intimate time with the Lord. So we're talking about a depth of relationship with Jesus. There is a deeper level of knowing him. I highlighted when John the Beloved, one of the disciples, was with Jesus. You know, he knew Jesus. And in the Middle East, they were quite, when they were eating, they reclined on each other. He was intimate with Jesus physically. They were friends. Jesus loved them. But then he met him again in the book of Revelation, and he saw a different side of him. He saw Jesus, and suddenly he fell at his feet trembling. So there is a deeper reality of who Jesus is, of who God is. And we want to go deeper to discover that. I highlighted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the new God. And knowing God is the reason we exist. It is the reason why we were born. It is the reason why we are born again. And we looked at John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. And Jesus Christ defined eternal life as knowing God and Jesus Christ. So eternal life is not going to heaven. You know, eternal life is eternal relationship with the Lord, knowing God and growing in that relationship. So we were created to contain God. Everything else in life is a byproduct. The primary reason why any one of us is alive, it is so that we will have relationship with God. And every aspect of life is meant to be impacted by our relationship with the Lord. So relationship with the Lord, knowing the Lord, is why we were born. And of course, Adam messed it up. He sinned. And then now we are born again. And Jesus is saying that eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom was sent. And as a matter of fact, that word know in John 17:3 is the same word in the Greek in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Jesus. Also, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, 12, let's read that. The new covenant is about knowing God. So I'm talking about the importance of knowing God. I'm still trying to lay this foundation, and then we go to the text, but we've got some stuff to look at as well. But the new covenant is about knowing God, okay? Last Wednesday, there was a question about covenants, and the word covenant is relationship, so it's a relationship God had with people, people had with God. And you've got two covenants in scripture. One is the old and the other new. So Hebrews 8 from verse 10. It says, "For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now think about this. You were in the mind of God when God spoke this. Me and you were in the mind of God. God lives outside of time. He works in time. He lives outside of time. He's timeless. Me and you were in the mind of God when this was being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 11, he says, "And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Think about that. The new covenant, is such that you're meant to know the Lord for yourself because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The new covenant is about knowing the Lord. It's not about going through any mediation, human mediation. No, it is about having the Spirit of the living God inside of you and knowing God personally. So God wants you to know him personally. Not just what somebody tells you about. You know, even we thank the Lord for scripture, okay, that God used Paul and all these people to write the scripture. But when you come to the scripture, he reveals and speaks to you directly. So that it is not just because someone is telling you that God loves you, because you know in your heart that God loves you. And now when you're going through any kind of problem, you're confident in that place because you know he loves you. It's not because someone tells you. It is because you know. He wants you to know that he loves you from him. And so the new covenant, again, is about knowing the Lord, which we are a part of. Also in the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says that, Jeremiah 9:23, thus says the Lord, do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their might. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. But let those who boast, boast in this. Now listen, that they understand and know me. Now this is a radical scripture, okay? That means that there is nothing any of us can boast about. No accomplishment. It's just like, it's irrelevant before the Lord. The only thing you can boast about is that you know God. Think about it. So that implies that knowing God is far more important than anything in this world. That knowing God should have all of us exerting our energies in knowing the Lord. Because if you can't boast about anything, he says that they may boast in this, that they understand and they know me. But you see, yet I think about this and I'm thinking, man, God, we exert so much of our energy. We worry about so many things. The things we worry about has got nothing to do with knowing God. And he says we can't boast in anything except that we understand and know him. Know that I am the Lord. I act with steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And knowing God is the only way to be secure in these last days. Okay? It is the only security you have as a human being. Everything can be shaken. Everything. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said all things will be shaken. So that the things that cannot be shaken will be revealed. And the only thing that cannot be shaken is relationship with the Lord, knowing him. And this is what Paul said, no other foundation can anyone build except that which has been built, which is Christ Jesus. And so knowing the Lord is your only security. Again, where are you counting? Where are you putting your eggs? Is it in the reality of your relationship with the Lord? Or is it in any other thing? Because every other thing is capable of shaking. And so it is the only security we have as individuals. Now in 1 Timothy 4:1-5, and then we'll look at 2 Timothy 3 as well. Look at what Paul said. Now the Spirit expressly say that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirit and teachings of demons. Now think about it. Some will depart from the faith. You know, whenever I read this, I'm just in my mind, I remember God showed me how this happens. Everything has a way it happens. But I will be with the Lord and say, Lord, how can people depart from the faith? And what that means is they will depart from relationship with the Lord. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what is there in this world to leave Jesus for? Nothing. There's nothing in this world. So in my mind, I'm thinking, God, how will people depart from the faith? Okay. And so knowing God and growing in relationship with the Lord, making this the theme of your life, I want to know you, is the only way you will be secure. Because, do you know, the Bible can't lie. When God speaks something, it will happen. And so the reality is there will be people who will depart from the faith. There will be people who will abandon relationship with the Lord. And it will be because they did not put emphasis on their relationship with the Father. That wasn't the most important thing. Other things became more important. And they were distracted. And you know, the Lord said to me, think about it. It's easy when you're building a house and you lay a few bricks on the floor. You make a mistake. It's easy to break that up. You can literally kick it with your leg. But you see, when you build a whole house and you have completed it, it's almost sometimes impossible. I mean, you can't kick it with your leg. And so people who would depart from the faith, it will be because bit by bit, they will be trivializing the reason for their existence, which is relationship with God. Bit by bit. So that will be one break after the other. And you know, in Paul's, I think in Timothy somewhere, he spoke about some people who were working with him. And he said that they have left him for Thessalonica because they loved the things of the world. And they were working with Paul. Paul always had people around him. And I remember reflecting on that and thought, wow, they would have been evangelizing with Paul and doing all kinds of things with Paul. You know, Paul preached in the synagogue and things like that. But their heart was somewhere else. And eventually they left Paul and they went to Thessalonica. Why? Because they loved the things of the world. They did not allow the reality of knowing Jesus to be the theme of their existence. And you know, this is how Judas betrayed Jesus. This is how he betrayed Jesus. Because for him, he trivialized the fact that the King of Glory was with him. And eventually he got to that point that he could sell his own friend for money. And so knowing the Lord is the only way to be secure in these last days as far as our salvation is concerned. Knowing Jesus, that is close, intimate relationship with him, or a living relationship with God, is our only eternal security. Yeah, that's the only way we are secure. Relationship with him. It is not about what we do for the Lord, though what we do for the Lord is absolutely important. 1 Corinthians 15:8 says, "For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." But it's about knowing him. Okay? Mark chapter 3 verse 14, it says Jesus Christ first chose the disciples to be with him first, to be with him, and that he may send them out. So yes, he had something for them to do, and yes, we are going to have to, you would have to go to work, you still have to do things, but then the Bible says he chose them first to be with him, to be with him. To know him, to be in relationship with him. Now, in Matthew 21:25, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name?' Then I will declare to them," this is Jesus speaking, "I never knew you." This is just like crazy, man. Could you imagine? On that day, Jesus saying, "I never knew you." But you see, the word "I never knew you," the word "knew" there, is the same word that is used in Philippians 3:10, and is the same word that is used in John 17:3, which is, "This is eternal life, that they might know the only God." So Philippians 3:10, "I want to know Christ." Matthew chapter 7:23, "I never knew you." And then John 17:3, this is eternal life. That is, they know. That word know is the same word. So what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7 is that I wasn't in relationship with you. Now, this, think about it. They did things for the Lord. And the Lord says, I wasn't in relationship with you. And so that is to say that knowing the Lord is super important. You know, last year when I started here, we had a church workers meeting. And then I spoke about three values. And it's born out of this, three things that I want to encourage everyone to use as a sense of value. And the three things are, number one, as a worker in the house of the Lord, you have to make your relationship with the Lord just like the most important thing in your life, much more than anything. Number two, receiving his love, allowing God to love you, and you loving him back and loving other people. And then number three is the pursuit of excellence in what we do. Now, and it's coming from this, because knowing the Lord is more important than working for the Lord. Working for the Lord should be a byproduct of knowing the Lord. As a matter of fact, this morning we're praying about commitment to the work of the Lord. I haven't seen anyone who has made knowing the Lord the theme of their life that is not a radical, zealous worker in the house of the Lord. When I got born again back in Ghana in college, and I sensed that relationship with the Lord, no one could stop me from committing to the Lord. Nobody needs to encourage me to commit myself to the Lord. No. Because the fuel is coming from the inside. If you can see how much he loves you, there is nothing he will require of you that you wouldn't be able to do. There is nothing too uncomfortable. There is nothing too tiring. No. And so relationship with the Lord is key. And so as we're praying about commitment this morning for the church, the reality is that every one of us must strengthen our knowing of the Lord, because that will work itself out in your commitment to the Lord, in the details of what he's called you to do and being part of a local fellowship. So the fuel now is knowing the Lord. So if you make this an emphasis, knowing the Lord is the fuel that enables us to work for the Lord. And so normally when people are not committed, it is because most of the time they haven't emphasized on their relationship with the Lord. Because like I say, I mean, over the years I've thought about this, and you know, I remember I left college, I came home and I had to work with my dad for a while. I said to my dad that I have to go to church because I need to know more about God. And that was more important. Like, my parents knew that. It was more important. Barbara knows that. You know, I've said to my kids, the Lord is more important than you guys. And he has to be. He has to be. Because you wouldn't be able to obey the Lord. You know, I remember when God said to me to sort of start looking into going full time. As a normal person, I was thinking, God, I've got kids. I have to take care of my kids. And the Lord said to me, look, I asked Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Now was a challenge for me. But you know, I have to put the Lord first and relationship with him, because he knows better than I do. And God can take care of my kids better than I can. So relationship with the Lord is quite key. But I want to just chip in a point that God drew to my attention. There is this crucial point of our core belief and mindset about our oneness with God and about how close we are to God, okay? Because your core belief, your mindset, how you think about God and how you think about who you are in Christ will influence the factors that will determine whether you take a personal initiative to pursue Jesus and to make your relationship with him the most important thing, okay? Now, I'll ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. If somebody comes to you and says to you, how close are you to God? Okay. Think about it for a moment. How close are you to God? It's not a trick question. Now, this was, I think it was before, about 3 weeks before the Christmas, as I was reflecting on this, the Lord drew my attention to me. How close are you to God? The answer you have in your mind right now is what is actually driving you towards knowing him. This is so important. Okay, and now I'll explain something in a minute. The answer you have in your mind is what is driving you close to him. For many of us, when we think about, and I'm talking about children of God now, you know, I believe everyone here is born again, right? So I'm talking about those who are born again. For many of us, when we think about that question, how close are you to God? Naturally, we will think about us and what we have done to determine our closeness with the Father. Okay? We don't think about God and his closeness to us. And so this is a key point the Lord wanted me to make. He said to me, if anybody will be like Paul to say, I want to know him, even though you're growing in him. If anyone will be in this place and pursuing the Lord quite in a strong way, it will be based on having a right mindset and core belief about who he is and about who we are in him. Okay? So for most of us, we will answer whatever question, whatever answer we have for that question, how close to God, is coming from you. It's coming from how you are close to the Lord. Most of the time, we don't think about how close God is to us. And the thing is this, Christianity is not about you. Christianity is Christ in you. Our Christian life, in the book of Colossians 3 verse 4, Paul says, when Christ, who is your life? So to say you're a Christian, you're talking about life. Right? You're talking about your life. But that life is not you. It's Christ in you. So our core belief must be established. Our mindset, our memory, our imaginations must be established in the reality of Christ in us. Are you getting this? So for most of us, we don't even consider how much God is close to us. So think about it for a moment. How many times have you felt lonely? Or you felt that God is not there? And not just felt that, indulging in that feeling, indulging in that thought, and making it a stronghold in our minds. Yeah, think about it. Most people, most believers, you know, you feel lonely or you feel that God is not there. And you indulging in that thought and feeling when the Bible says that God lives inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's right inside of you. And why am I highlighting this? Because the Lord said to me that we can only be motivated by his Spirit in us. It's about Christ in us. So when you wake up in the morning, it doesn't matter how you feel as a Christian. It doesn't matter, oh, you know, do I feel like reading the Bible or not? No, it's got nothing to do with how you feel. It's about Christ inside of you. He's right inside of you. And that should be what motivates you. That should be your thinking. None of us should ever think that Christ, God is not with me. It's not the truth, right? And so what is happening is that for most of us, our core belief, I know we need to work on our mind. The Bible says that we have to be renewed, transformed by the renewal of our minds. But we have to renew our mind in this area that God is inside of me, constantly and with me always. That becomes the fueling factor. And it's going to be challenging because you would need to learn how to suppress or like Paul said, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, pulling down imaginations. So you'd have to bring every thought, imagination, emotions under the authority of the reality of the word of the Lord. So our minds have to be reprogrammed in this particular area. Now, the Bible said we have to set our minds on the things that are above. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So when we talk about, I want to know Christ, we're talking about engaging the mind of Christ, not our feeling. Paul was not saying this from a place of his own fleshly mindset. No. So again, the only way we can be driven towards the Lord, as Paul is saying, I want to know the Lord, it is when we allow this, the reality of who we are and Christ in us, to be what we imagine, what we think about, what we are constantly thinking about. God, you are inside of me. You're constant inside of me. That fuels your passion for him. That fuels your drive towards him. And so whatever mindset you have that is telling you otherwise, as in God is not with you, or you're not sure whether he's inside of you, you need to get rid of that. Because if you don't, like I said last week, we have this whole year. At the end of the year, you should have grown in the Lord. Right? And how much you grow is down to you. Yeah. It's down to you. You know, you can grow rapidly. How much you grow is down to you. But these mindset will inhibit you. Because what you will do is you would cause your feelings and your emotions to speak louder to you than truth is speaking to you. And as simple as, for example, committing yourself to maybe fellowship or your home group or coming for prayer meeting, is all fueled by the fact that you know he's inside of you. Because for people who are committed, we all feel tired. We all wake up and hear other voices in our minds. And I know, like, I have to be honest, I mean, it's not going to be easy. You'd have to make a choice. There's been times I feel contrary. Things are happening contrary. But I have to wake up and say, God, life is so good because my life is Christ.
That's right.
Yeah, and I have to learn to believe that my life is Christ.
Right.
And so if my life is Christ, I want to know Christ. And you know, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but the one who is joined with the Lord is in spiritual union, that is in one spirit with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord, okay? Do you know, we are one in spirit. What does that mean? Your spirit is identical to God. If we can have some kind of equipment to test our spiritual DNA, you would realize that God's DNA is in your spirit. Because you're born again, right? We are born again. John chapter 1 verse 13. So we're, you know, they're born not of a husband's decision nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. So as a Christian, your spirit and God's spirit is the same. As a matter of fact, God gave birth to you. Regeneration, the word regeneration and being born again, that is how it looks. God gave birth to you. And you know, I think in John, he talks about the seed of God is inside of you. But you see, most of us don't think this way. Most of us don't think this way, that the seed of God is inside of me. I'm a child of God. I am who he says I am. And we have to allow the reality of our true identity to be what shapes and influences our core belief about who we are. Do you know, I know the problem, because you look at Adam. When Adam sinned, he was hiding from God because he was blinded. He couldn't see, right? But we are no longer blind because the light of God has shone in our hearts. We are new creation. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, they are new creation. Old things have passed away. All have become new. You are new. Now you can walk into God's presence anytime. There's a book I'm reading at the moment called The Practice of God's Presence. And it was written by Brother Lawrence. He was a soldier and then later on he became a chef. And he wanted to find a way to draw close to the Lord like those. I mean, in those days they had monasteries and things like that. They would spend hours meditating scripture and praying. And he couldn't do that. And of course, suddenly the Lord started showing him how to walk with him every day. And he wrote the book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's a powerful book. It's only a little book. He teaches how to be able to walk with God constantly. And for him, he recognized that I'm a child of God. God lives in me. God loves me. So whatever I'm doing, I'm going to be absolutely conscious of him. I'm going to increase in that consciousness of him. So look, every one of us as children of God, we have been renewed on the inside. Your life is new now. If you're a child of God, your life is no longer about this world anymore. It's about the reality of the King and the kingdom of God. That is the new life we have now. So now Paul will say in Romans 18, now we have no obligation to live according to the flesh. No, no. Your life now is Christ. Christ is your life. Your life is about him. It's about his love. It's about his grace. It's about knowing him. And it's about enjoying him. And that's what I want to leave finally as I finish my introduction. I know we've not gone to the text yet. We will go through it hopefully next weekend. But we have to change our core belief, our mindset of who we are. Yeah. We're children of God. And I know it takes time. It takes working in the word of the Lord. But you are a child of God. You are close to God every day. So to say that I'm not close to God, you're answering from your experience. Okay? But you're supposed to be answering from truth. Yeah. And to say, hey, because when Satan comes, he's coming to check whether you know that you are joined together with the Lord. And most of the time when we're going through trials, we make conclusions that, oh yeah, God is not here. And he knows that. And why is because we need to let this word be what establishes our core belief. God is with me. David knew that God was with him. He had no fear for Goliath. Because the Lord was. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Yeah. And what can separate you from the love of the Father? Now, this is the challenge. The challenge is such that this year, you have to learn how to enjoy the Lord every day. You know, enjoying the Lord is not a concept in most believers' our minds. I remember God saying that to me and I felt sad because that was my life as well. I didn't know how to enjoy the Lord. And he's here. Think about it, man. God is a friend. He's a friend. He's your friend. Could you imagine God, Jesus being your friend? He's able to work miracles. He's able to feed 5,000 people. He's able to do impossible things as a friend. And every one of us want a superhero as a friend. And he is our friend. And so we must change this thing in our minds that I'm not close to, no, I am close to the Lord. And you know, what God has been teaching me to this point, I have to constantly wake up every morning and say, Father, it is impossible for me and you to be separate. It's impossible, man. Yeah. Every one of us must think that way. We shouldn't have any uncertainty. But you see, I'm not thinking from what I've done. I'm thinking from what he has done. So the core belief has to be established the other way around. What God has done for you. And that will fuel each one of us in our pursuit this year. I want to know him. Why? Because of his love for me. And you convince your mind. You're reassuring your heart. Of his love for you, of his presence in you. Do you know, God doesn't leave you when you sin. I know some people are not sure about that. Yeah. And Christians do sin. And not just sin. Some Christians do worse things. But God doesn't leave them. If you have been taught that God leaves you when you sin, whoever taught you that is wrong. Because the day God leaves you, you cease to become a child of God. And if you think about the concept of regeneration, Cyrus is my son because my DNA is in him. It's the same thing as God. His DNA is in you. John said it. His seed remains in you. Now, people will argue, oh, he says, is that an excuse to go and sin? No, no. It's not an excuse to go and mess up. But the thing is, you will mess up anyway. But God doesn't leave you. And you know, for me, that's what blows my mind. Yeah. God doesn't leave any of us if you mess up. He doesn't leave you when you sin. David messed up. He never left him. As a matter of fact, David is one of the greatest people in the Old Testament. Yeah. I mean, God revealed himself. I mean, the things David knew was just unusual. But yet, he messed up. And we have to let his love and who he is inside of us be what is in our mind and our core belief about ourselves. You need to start believing yourself in light of who you are in Christ Jesus. That is so key. That is so important. And you know, the Lord said to me, if people don't get this core belief worked out, it will be hard for you to pursue the Lord because you will make a lot of mistakes. Yeah, you will. And Satan will come and troubles will come. The only thing will sustain you is the knowledge that I'm a child of God. And that's what Paul said, you know, in all these things, we are more than a conqueror. And when he was saying that, if you read what Paul went through, and he's saying, I'm more than a conqueror. He was being dragged on the floor. You know, his leg had been tied to a horse and they were dragging him, threw him out of the city. And he said, I am more than a conqueror. So our core belief, our mindset about who we are must be established properly. In light of who God has made us to be. Not in light of what we do or what other people say, our mistakes. No, we must wake up every morning and say, Father, thank you that I am holy because you are my holiness. You are my redemption. You are my sanctification. You are my purity. You are my prosperity. I am blessed and life is good. Let's be on our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just close our eyes and let's just pray for a moment. The worship team, please do come up. Thank you, Father, this morning. I give you praise for your glory. Let's just lift up our voice and begin to bless him and begin to thank him this morning.